Welcome,
hello. It's staring at you.
We'll be in Isaiah 38.
Thank you.
I'm not going to answer before the thing comes up.
Sorry.
That's the whole purpose of it.
Isaiah
38. Welcome, onliners. Let us know if you're getting the signal loud and clear. It's according to, I guess, the weather or what's going on, but there have been times where we've had people from 70 different countries watching.
Amen.
And so Brother Brian was just pointing out a reminder that we kind of forget just because we don't bring it up very often, but all this global surveillance. I was talking about how on the West Virginia Turnpike, no matter where they have an accident, the local TV down there has a camera up on a pole somewhere to show you where it's at. I know the same thing's true about Franklin County. I don't know how much of I-71 or I-70 are like that, but that and our little church able to get anywhere on the world, on the globe, on the map, or I guess on the flat earth, it's according to what you believe. But anywhere, there are flat earthers watching everywhere around the globe. But as Brian said, you know, it's all fulfilling what the Lord said happened in the last days whenever the two witnesses will be killed, and it says the whole world will see them.
Yeah.
How is that possible in the year 1940?
Yeah.
It wasn't possible. There were parts of the world that didn't even have TV at that point.
Yeah.
But not, and since 1948, it's just become, since Israel became a nation, everything's been going down that route. So we're in Isaiah 38, if you want to get your Bibles open there, and Brother John, you wanted to say something, and I'll let you say that, and then open in prayer, and then we'll before we get into our study. So go ahead.
I found that from my brother when he lived in England. And so we're talking over 30 years ago. He said, as far as on the English highways, on the major roads, there wasn't a single road you could go on that they, the British intelligence, did not know the second you came on the highway and what exit you got off the highway.
I'd say that is now true for all of Europe, all of China, probably all of, or most of, India, you know. And I haven't seen a report on that recently. I'd like to know just an update on just how the coverage that we have. You can find that information about Wi-Fi coverage and things like that. I'd be interested. If anybody has any links or any information about that, send it to me at bpfohio@protonmail.com. And anybody, anytime you guys have anything you think that I'd be interested in, send it to me. I don't always reply because I already get a lot of stuff. But I like looking at things. Brian has sent me things. And I got something from my dad last week.
Amen.
And it's a while since my dad sent me anything, but it was good to get something from him. All right, Brother John, go ahead and open our Bible study prayer, if you would.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're coming again into your presence through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you today. We know your pure word. And Lord, we can know it because of your pure blood that was shed at the cross for our sins. And Lord, your blood is the gracious sin color.
Amen.
And it's the only solution for sin is what you did for us at the cross. There's no other solution but the cross.
Amen.
And we just pray in our midst, Lord, and around the world that you'd be lifted up so that all men can be drawn unto you. We pray for your choice blessings on our study on the book of Isaiah. And I know, Lord, from our study in it, America is running parallel with what's in the book of Isaiah. And whatever's going on here in our country, it's right there in the book of Isaiah. So open up our hearts, Lord. Open up our understanding as we ask you to open up your heart and to give us the understanding of your word and to give us a ministry of sharing that book around the world. Be merciful to us today. Remember our frame to put us.
And without you, we can do absolutely nothing. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So,
Mike,
this chapter.
Your microphone, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong?
Oh, duh. I don't know how that got turned off. Okay, we're good.
Isaiah 38 is basically the chapter where Hezekiah is told he's going to die. And we'll see, for those of you who may not be familiar with the story, I won't, what do they call that, spoiler alert, I won't spoil it for you, at least for a few minutes. But, well, I have to, I guess, spoil it a little bit. But now that I think about it, I have to spoil it a lot. Hezekiah is going to be told he's going to die. Well, let's just go ahead and read this first, let's see. Eight verses. Let's read the first eight verses, and then I'll comment. We'll read, you can read the even with me, so I'll begin here with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Amen? Isn't that a neat fictional fairy tale?
No.
That's what you'd be told if you spent about $100,000 to go to seminary. That's what you'd be told in most university classrooms. It's what you find in a lot of commentaries. They'll tell you that this didn't really happen. It's a scientific impossibility, etc. It is a scientific impossibility. What's our answer to that?
God.
Or but God. That's a good one. Yeah, Jenny?
So it looks like in this one, it's not mentioning that Hezekiah.
Well, we'll come back to that.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, we are going to look at the other account in a minute. Of this same thing, but I don't want to miss the point that God can do anything.
Duh.
Exactly.
And so one of the dumbest thing that anybody can look at you and say is that God cannot do something like the virgin birth. God cannot create the world in 6 days. God cannot make a donkey talk. He makes jackasses talk all the time. Just take a walk around town. You'll find all kind. Jessica?
But God cannot lie.
Yeah, he can.
He can lie?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, remember he sent a lying spirit to the prophet, was it Micaiah, I think his name is? We'll talk about that more, but just believe the Bible. Don't believe the bumper stickers.
Okay, what about violating his own, I don't know.
What God can't do is wrong. But that, when someone says God can do anything, it is with the understanding that it's with you know, when it comes to anything that he would do or is possible for him to do. God can't die. God can't make a boulder too big for him to lift and all that kind of crazy stupid stuff. We're just talking about, in common sense terms, anything that God can do, he can do. So what can he do? He can do anything, including the virgin birth, donkeys talking, and he can make the sundial go backwards. Joshua, he made the sun stand still. It all happened. Yes, Sean? Right, there's another one. I mean, we're talking in terms of what can God do and in terms of what he would do. I mean, you guys are something. All right, what else? God can't, sneeze so hard his head blows up? I mean, what else can God not do? I mean, yes, Johnny?
Just wanted to add, as far as the idiots talking, God doesn't even have to make them do that. They kind of do that on their own.
Well, that's what I said. He makes jackasses talk all the time. All I have to do is walk around town. You see that?
Yeah, I would say that he doesn't even have to, though, because they just do that anyway.
Doug?
It talks about all there in Malachi chapter 3. It talks about where he changes them not.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, but that doesn't mean he doesn't do things different.
Right.
His nature doesn't change, but he absolutely. How many of you got up this morning? Chuck, did you get up this morning and look at Carly and say, "Now, Carly, you have a good day, but don't you dare eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Brian, you packing your bags and getting ready to get on the ark down in Cincinnati or Covington, Kentucky, or wherever it's at, because it might flood. God doesn't change, but God's ways with man change. And his ways are not as our ways. His thoughts are not as our thoughts. But this leads us to what I'm surprised none of you brought up, was the whole question of God and the time that you're going to die. How many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because then you'll think I'm picking on you. But how many of you believe that God has appointed a particular time for you to die?
Amen.
Okay, but how many of you believe that nothing you do can change that? That's not true.
Amen.
Come up here and let me blow your head off, and we'll show that we can do something to change that.
Yeah.
Josiah. I mean, it's just crazy that this predestinarian idea that however anybody died, it was because God wanted them to die that way. How many of you know people who believe that?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Some guy jumped off the bridge last night. It doesn't mean God predestined him to jump off that bridge.
Exactly.
And it's just crazy. And, let's look at a few scriptures here. Because this is what comes up a lot. Hezekiah was told he's going to die. Then he prays and God says, "All right, I'll give you 15 more years." Well, Jessica, was that a lie? Because he said you're going to die. Well, what's going on here? It is that what we call a lie, sometimes we ourselves are the problem with our definition of what a lie is.
Yeah.
If somebody is hurting my wife and said, and I look at them and say, "I'm going to knock your head off," and they let go of her and stop hurting her, and I don't knock their head off, am I a liar? See how that works?
Yeah.
So anyway, let's look at this in Psalm 90. But God works with, we'll look at that too, but God works with what is taking place and he deals with it according to his will. From moment to moment, it can change. Psalm 90, verse 9. I'm going to read 9 and 10 here. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." How many of you think, especially those of you who are older, look back and think, "Man, time has flown by."
Amen.
I cannot believe I'm more than a half a century old. Verse 10, "The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, which is 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away." That's a great passage there. I think if you take the average, there would be 75. Well, I think that's about what our life expectancy is today in the Western world, about 75 years. So 70 is what you should kind of expect if you, you know, barring some crazy thing happening. And some people live on to 80. And of course, then there are those who are the exception who live on beyond 80. But it is a very small percentage of the population throughout history. Today, there's more living longer because of things like the ability to transplant and things like that. In some ways, medical technology is prolonging life. In other ways, they're killing people. But we won't get into all that. But just think about that. And he says, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. So how many people you know in their 80s that don't ache and hurt almost every day and every moment? I mean, I know people, and they live and they endure. You know, my poor grandma died back in March. That was one of the things she said over the last few years of her life. She said, I just get used to hurting, you know, physically. That's the way it is. And it says, for it is soon cut off. That's what we're just talking about, how it seems to, and it says, and we fly away. Time flies. You look back. I remember in school how slow the day seemed to go. The second hand would get stuck. And then move it. Just every once in a while, that second hand would move. That's what it seemed. Now you look back and the years in school just seem to have blown by and everything.
This, we fly away. That's when we die. Or go to heaven.
Yes. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, just all of a sudden it's over. You know, just seems like soon cut off, it says. Soon cut off. Look at then verse 11 and 12. Read that with me. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's, you don't know when your appointed time is. And you're not supposed to bring that upon yourself, by the way. Suicide is self-murder. It's wrong. It's a sin. But even some people I know, they don't take care of themselves. And a lot of them on dope and drink to excess and eat, you know, things that they know they shouldn't. And let their health go with this attitude of Doris Day. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's a satanic attitude.
Yes, it is.
That's not Bible. And if it's not Bible, where'd it come from? And it says, teach us to number our days. That means to not just count. That means to treasure and to use our days wisely, to make use of our days. And, you know, I just... For kids, you know, kids will waste a day just playing in the dirt. And that's understandable. But us adults, you're going to be ashamed of yourself if you waste it. Again, there's nothing wrong with going out with a fishing pole or playing a little game or just sitting down with a book. You know, it's time for relaxation. But, you know, a lot of people, if they were to have a spreadsheet and look at how they use their time and then make a chart out of it, the chart of using time for God would be here, and all the wasted time would be up here.
Yeah, sure. Amen. Amen.
You're going to see that. May not be a pie chart or another chart, but you're going to see that on Judgment Day. You're going to see the wasted time. And I'll tell you this, a lot of Christians waste their time on what they call political porn. I know Christians who have wasted so much time listening to political stuff that's based on nothing, and it's just rambling hour upon hour, and look back and what'd you get out of that?
Yeah, nothing.
And some of those people don't have time to read the Bible.
Right.
They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to spend in prayer. They don't have time to do the things God's told them to, but they have time. I'm not picking on Rush Limbaugh. I'm just telling you, I know some people who listen to Rush Limbaugh 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and Saturdays, and would look you in the eye and tell you they didn't have time to listen to Alexander Scorby read the Bible for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And go through the Bible once a year on audio. Just listen to Alexander Scorby read it to them. You talk about lazy. All they had to do is hit the button and listen to him read it, and they couldn't do that. But they had 3 hours a day for Rush or whoever, Glenn Beck, whoever the big talk show guys are. Hopefully not Howard Stern. If that's who you're listening to, you got other problems. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That's to be our attitude. Now, I want to show you one that then blows away the idea that God has numbered your days in the sense that no matter what you do, it will have no bearing. Go to Ecclesiastes. And no matter what you do, it'll have no bearing on when you die or how you die. So that means that if you just decide you're going to go on a cruise and right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you're going to jump out and see if you can swim back. And if I don't make it, it must have been my time. You see how crazy that is, but you hear other people say the same thing. Ecclesiastes 7. And for sake of time, I'm just going to zero right in on that one verse, verse 17.
Seven seventeen.
Now, if you dare read that with me. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Now, a few of you listening to the daily devotions, you heard us talk about this not too long ago. But read what it says. It says that your choice to do wickedly, which is one thing, or to do foolishly, which is another thing, either way, those can cause you to die before your time. Now think about that. In other words, God, in his perfect will, has a time in which you would live and die, but you can cut your life short. And I believe the opposite is true as well. I think God might prolong some people's lives because they made choices and did things. I think Solomon probably died before his time.
Yeah.
And we know that some of the kings, the Bible says, you know, we know God cut him off. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you remember that?
No,
Ur and Onan, whenever they wouldn't go into Tamar.
They were sons of Judah.
Yeah, sons of Judah.
Yep.
And don't tell me God had a perfect plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You're going to refuse to impregnate this lady, and so I'm going to kill you. That's my wonderful plan for your life. Now, God does have a wonderful plan for all of our lives, but we can mess it all up.
Yeah.
And pretending otherwise and sticking to your theology, because your theology says one thing, but you read in the Bible it says another thing, junk the theology. Amen. Go with the Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us right here, warns us. I put it out this way, God knows the appointed time. But that doesn't mean he chose that particular time as he allows us to face the consequences of our choices. In other words, there's his perfect will and his permissive will, and he knows which one wins. So what's your appointed time? God knows when you're going to die. God knows the moment. But God has perfect foreknowledge. That doesn't mean he's a programmer and he's up there saying, this is how you're going to die. There's a guy one time walking down the road, and an eagle had picked up an ostrich egg. And as the eagle flew over, he dropped the egg on the man's head. The egg bashed his head in and killed him. Don't tell me that was God's perfect will. It was his permissive will. Why is that? Because sin came into the world, and by sin came death. And so death passed upon all men for all of sin. And so God's perfect will was for you to never die at all.
Amen.
So that's been changed. So now you're going to die. Okay, what about the time? Well, if God had his perfect will, meaning where you didn't do anything to thwart his plan, this is where you'd die. But because you did something stupid, you died here. How many smokers would have lived longer if they hadn't smoked.
Yeah.
But you think it was God's will that they smoked? No, they went against God's will. And that's why I would put that under the foolish. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. So the foolish people smoking all their lives die younger than they would otherwise. And some of them die a slow, painful death as a result of it. Well, what I mean by appointed time. Well, I believe God knows your time. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Some of you know this very well.
Yeah.
Hebrews 9:27. But there's a verse after it I want us to read as well. Hebrews 9:27 and 28. So 27 is the familiar verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So you have an appointment. God knows when you're going to die. But you could have changed that by your personal choices. And might have started with you getting saved. And then, though even as a Christian, you can do wicked things and foolish things that cut your life short again.
Sin unto death.
And so, well, here's the comfort. Verse 28, read it with me. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but you can lose your life early. And I believe there are a lot of Christians who die before their time. And sometimes it's wickedness and other times it's foolishness.
Yeah.
And so going back to Isaiah with that background, we think about Isaiah here in chapter 38. Where am I going here? In the wrong direction. And Hezekiah is told the perfect will of God. And you say, why do I use that word perfect? Because we're going to see in our continued studies that it was really would have been better off for Hezekiah to go ahead and die.
Mm-hmm.
It really would have.
Yep. Yes.
But God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and he'll let us make choices, and he'll let us suffer the consequences. Look at in our text we read back in verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. How many believe prayer changes things?
Amen.
How do you, if you're predestinarian, I just don't know why you even pray. And I've read their explanations of why they pray, and it's nonsense. I pray because I believe God is not a robot.
Amen.
That we're not in a computer simulation, that everything is not already settled as far as, you know, we still have choices. God, of course, is not surprised by anything that happens, but that doesn't mean he's forced everything to happen. And prayer, though Hutchings used to say, I don't know if they still say it on Southwest Radio Church, but Noah used to always say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. And that's absolutely.
If you don't know Noah Hutchings, that was him.
He'd better look at me, but otherwise, that was a good impression. Johnny?
And I guess this, I mean, there could be a whole other sub sermon on this one. But the Bible shows us clearly that God, even though he does know when everything's going to happen, we do see him over and over again reacting to the things that happen.
Yeah, because
as if he didn't know.
Yeah, that. He allows those things to happen. He knows
you said it. He is not a robot.
Yeah. We get into the mind of God and we are way over our heads.
Just like we're not
but
robots. He's like God,
you just
not a robot.
Think of it this way. Of everything that's going to happen in the next 10 minutes, God knows everything that not only is going to happen, he knows everything that could happen. He knows all the results of those choices in a 7.5-8 billion people's lives being made. His mind is beyond our comprehension.
And he knows to carry it out through eternity. He understands all
yeah.
of that.
That's what the Bible tries to help us understand it by saying things like we're going to sing in a song today, that the earth is his footstool. You realize how big the earth is? It's a pretty big place, and the Bible says he basically just can put his foot on that as a stool. And I think he's way bigger than that because he's omnipresent. He's in all places all the time. He is. That's just to help us understand how big God is, in if we want to put it in those terms. God is beyond our understanding. That's why he tells us his ways are not as our ways. His thoughts are not as our thoughts. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. Do you know it?
And you shall direct thy path.
So it's telling you, hey, don't be thinking, well, I think this or I think that. When God has spoken on something, go with God. Go with the smart guy in the room. So we pick up there verse 4. We read through 8. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, all things are predestinated, so shut up. Oh, your Bible doesn't say that. That's the predestinated version. That's the NPV, the new predestinated version. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, how many of you remember Ahab? He pulled the same thing.
Yeah.
And he was wicked.
Amen.
So, I know we don't earn things necessarily by works, but I do think that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, if Ahab can get what he got, and he was as wicked as hell, that ought to encourage us to live the way the Lord wants us to live and pray.
Amen.
Because prayer changes things. John?
Yeah. Every time I read through the life of Josiah, I always cringe where God is telling them, you're going to live to be an old man. You're going to be buried with your fathers in a good old age. And instead, he goes up to Megiddo and gets involved in something he should not have been involved in and gets killed.
And it says he didn't pray about it.
Is that the one where, like, he went after this Egyptian king?
Yeah.
And the king said, hey, you shouldn't be here. God told me to do this.
Yeah, the Egyptian king even said, you know. And but he didn't. Josiah didn't pray about it.
Yeah.
It says he didn't even consult with the Lord. He just went up and did it. Stiff-necked. Wonderful king. One of the greatest kings of Israel. They had a Passover when he was king that they hadn't seen since Moses.
Wasn't he Manasseh's grandson?
Grandson. Yeah, his grandpa was a really bad guy who ended well.
But Manasseh was Hezekiah's son.
Yeah. Yeah, these are different kings, and the more you learn about if you can learn the names of the people and the characters of your favorite fictional novel, you ought to take some time to learn the characters in your Bible, because it really is an interesting study and helps. But verse 6 says, I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. So the king of Assyria suffers the consequences of this as well. He has to wait another 15 years. And then verse 7, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. What's he going to do? Well, we talked about it at the beginning. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. How many of you know what a sundial is? Have you watched Fred Flintstone lately? Sundials, they're fun. There's one somewhere, I'm trying to think of where it was here in Ohio, they've got one, it's really cool. And so you can see how a sundial works. I'm trying to think of where that was. Anybody remember that? Yeah, John?
Back in my younger days, I was playing with a certain pastor that has a gigantic church now. And we was in his house there playing Bible trivia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they gave trivia. And so it came to the question, because you had to get little pie charts there. So I got the question on dealing with what was the sign for Hezekiah that he was going to live. And so I said, oh, that's easy. It's the sundial. You go back 10 degrees. The card did not say that.
What?
It was on a false Bible. It said, when the sunlight goes down the stair steps. I kid you not. That has killed me all these years. I didn't get the five piece.
Yeah.
But I have one answer. So when you play those games, you got to...
That
came to fraud.
The
person you were playing with wasn't like, well, that's just...
Well, if you have to agree, you have to agree ahead of time that the King James is going to be your authority, or otherwise...
Well, you know what you're about.
What did you say with the Bible?
What did you say, Jenny?
It's the Sundial at the Ohio State House.
Is the State House? That's not where I saw this
one. Union Veterans of Civil War dedicated one.
So there's one at the State House. If you want to go check one out.
You can make one.
Then you can make one. Jenny will tell you how.
Yeah, well, one of my lessons for the Chinese kids has sundials in it.
But the main point here is that this is a scientific impossibility, and it happened.
Yeah.
Yes. That's not a contradiction. It's a scientific impossibility, and it happened. Wow. And if you're geocentrist, then you believe that the sun, you know, actually moved back 10 degrees.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll just say, let's move on. If you've been taught heliocentricity is a scientific fact, that's a false statement. And Einstein himself will tell you that. It's a matter of perspective. So all the textbooks are always telling you, you have to believe this. That's not science, that's religion.
Amen.
Science is observable and is supposed to be challenged and is not dogmatic. And you're supposed to be able to debate things in science. Today, we have scientism. It's a cult where they tell you what to think, shut up, no debate.
Yeah.
Geocentrism is just as scientifically plausible as heliocentrism. And we could go into that. We've got some videos on it. I don't push geocentrism. What I push is not buying the bull from scientism.
Amen.
If you believe in heliocentrism, good for you. But don't think for a minute that when they say that's settled science, that it is, because it's not. And that is a scientific fact.
Amen. Amen.
But let's pick up verse 9 and close with this is a letter. And we're not going to get into the details bogged down in it. It's a letter. And it's just what Hezekiah wrote. Look at verse 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. So this is something that Hezekiah wrote. It's a psalm of Hezekiah. Look at verse 10. Let's read for a few verses. You start with me in verse 10. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. So you kind of get the pity party going on here. Verse 13, I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. So you see, he's admitting there that he's kind of just running his mouth and being childish, is another way of putting it. But then he turns and talks to the Lord in verse 14 there. Verse 15, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Of course, that's what's happening. Verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? So that's the conclusion there with Hezekiah. And I ran out of time. I thought I'd have a few more minutes, so we're not going to read it. Jenny Albaugh brought up at the beginning that there's a fuller, there's no contradiction to anything, but there's a fuller account of this in 2 Kings chapter 20. So go ahead and turn there. We have just a couple minutes left. 2 Kings 20. Right there, beginning with verse 1. And you see there, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And so you see that it's very similar in this these first few verses. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, read with me the even beginning verse 4. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And then we get the story, verse 8. Read that. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. And the shadow go forward 10 degrees. Shall. And this is where a little piece of additional information here. Shall the shadow go forth 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Read verse 10. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. So, you know, that's a pretty good, you know, well, the clock's always going that direction. The sundial's always going in that direction. Let's move that thing backwards 10 degrees. You know how God puts up with us?
Yeah, another
20 minutes. That's good. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the Dove Ahaz. So there's read those parallel accounts as we close it up here. And it's just an amazing scripture with scripture. You learn a lot by doing that. Let's close. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you that you do give us free will, even though a lot of times we have suffered consequences of our choices, that we are not in a prison. We are not in a simulation. We are not in a controlled atmosphere, but we have a relationship with you that is based on love. And we love you because you first loved us and gave your son to die for us. And by his shed blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have eternal life. And we amen. Will praise you forever and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, I'm honored. Go get your tea. See you in a bit.